Hey there, Bill DeYoung here in the Catalyst Studios, and today I am joined by Terry Lipsey Scott, who's been doing great things in the city for a long time here, and she is the executive director of the Dr. Carter G. Woodson African American Museum. Hello.
Good afternoon, Bill, and thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity.
It's great to see you. It's always great to see you. I wanted to start at the event, the Black History Month event on February 1st. You gave this impassioned speech, which I know you worked on because I could tell it was very well crafted, about the importance of investing in Black history in addition to everything else that we know about American history. Can you kind of synopsize that for me? Why is it important that we're here to talk today, if I haven't made this clear, about expanding the museum and making the world a better place? Why is it important to invest in Black history?
Because the absence thereof for so many years creates this huge void and definitely representative of inequity. Mm-hmm. So now, more than ever, the purpose of our campaign of investing in African American history is critical. We can no longer ignore the absence of the importance of the contributions of African Americans to this nation.
When I was growing up, this is a point you made in the speech, you know, when I was a kid here in St. Pete, you learned about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and, you know, and some of the people that we don't talk about anymore, but it was white history and it was lacking in our education. So, and that's one of the things you talked about. We know about this, but we should also know about this. This is an equal part of our history. That's the equity you're talking about.
Most definitely. When we consider those who were brought to this nation, who were enslaved in order to create the wealth that so many enjoy today, that we celebrate this being a wonderful country and a wonderful place to live. It's in large part due to the contributions made by those who were enslaved and created the foundation for this nation's greatness.
Absolutely right. How long has the museum been in existence, and was it always in that little place in Jordan Park, which is what we're talking about here today, folks? But when did it start?
In fact, in the late 1990s, there was a police shooting where white officers shot and killed a Black youth. And as a result, across the nation, it appeared that St. Petersburg was ablaze. And it reached the attention of the White House. Then President Clinton sent his Secretary of Housing here, Henry Cisneros, with a desire of reaching out within the community to determine what they can do from the federal level to help change the dynamics of our community. With that, the city and St. Petersburg Housing Authority were granted a HOPE 6 grant to redevelop Florida's first created public housing community in the state of Florida, in fact. And that was in the late 1930s. And needless to say, from the 1930s to late 1990s, nothing was done in order to ensure the safety and the upkeep of those properties. The residents during that period of redevelopment decided they wanted a place to preserve, present, and interpret African American history. And as a result, they decided to forego their public housing community center so that we have a space here in St. Petersburg that we're calling an African American museum. Needless to say, it's a retrofitted public housing community center. Yeah. And we in the city of St. Petersburg in the state of Florida deserve something far greater than a public housing community center.
Well, let's take note that it's not called the Henry Cisneros Museum of African American History. Tell me who Carter G. Woodson was.
Carter G. Woodson is known as the father of African American history. He's the second African American to have graduated from Harvard. And in 1926, he developed a program where he decided that we should, in fact, pay close attention to African Americans' contributions and began then in 1926 what was Negro History Week. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 1976 that we began celebrating Black History Month. So Dr. Carter G. Woodson is known as the father of African American history, for whom we pay tribute.
He wasn't a Florida guy or a St. Pete guy. This is more of an American movement.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what we're talking about here today is getting the Woodson Museum out of the community center in Jordan Park. And you used this expression, which was new to me, but I immediately knew what it meant, which was purpose built.
Yeah.
Which means to say you didn't just retrofit some old building and put some stuff in it. You have, the architect has designed this place already.
Yes.
And we're backing my way into talking about it. Purpose built, in other words, built to house a museum, not just something we, as I say, retrofitted. So the city donated 5 acres.
5.5 acres of land, indeed.
Tell me where that is exactly.
The 5.5 acres of land is on the city's most historic African-American corridor here in the city of St. Petersburg, and that's 22nd Street South.
Yeah.
Known for the Manhattan Casino and so many other landmark locations. And the museum is to be housed catty corner, the Manhattan Casino, closest to the interstate, which is known for having bifurcated our community over time.
Maybe it won't be there much longer. I've heard whispers about that.
We can only keep our fingers crossed and be hopeful. So we're excited that we've staked a claim along that historic African-American corridor where the story can continue to be preserved, presented, and told in a most eloquent fashion.
30,000 square feet.
Yes.
Is what we're looking at here.
Yes.
And when this comes out as a story, we'll have some of the renderings there so people can see what it looks like. Tell me the name of the architect who designed this.
In fact, it was designed by Mario Gooden out of New York in partnership with Jason of Wanamaker Jensen. And we're just excited for the collaboration and the opportunity that it presents for us to have a beautiful museum that would be in line and on par with the other extraordinary museums we have to offer in St. Petersburg.
I remember you talking about that. You know, we've got the Dolly and we've got the new thing over there, the arts and crafts thing. Didn't mean thing, you know what I mean, Ruth? you know, the other art museums. But this is really necessary, isn't it?
Most definitely. Yeah. So many untold stories.
Yeah.
So many untold stories. And as a youth growing up in Savannah, in fact, in segregated schools for quite some time, the opportunity just truly didn't present itself for stories to have been told about those who contributed to our nation's history, or for us to even dream about people we could become, or, you know, opportunities that created themselves because we didn't see ourselves in those spaces. It's important that all of us see ourselves in every walk of life, being able to accomplish and achieve anything that our heart desires.
Well, I would say also, and this is kind of a no-brainer, I think, but it's also important not only to African-American children, but it's important to white children. It's important to everybody.
Absolutely.
To understand the full, you know, the knotting of the tapestry or whatever you say, how it works.
Yes.
And
that's why I'm so proud, too, that our current mayor, Ken Welch, has embraced the theme of We Are St. Pete. And when we say we are St. Pete, we're talking about each and every one of us.
There you go.
We are certainly reflective of a broad community, and each of us should see ourselves.
Talk to me, if you will, about what's inside this new museum. We're going to get to when it's coming and how it's getting there in a moment, but what do you envision? I mean, can you see it room for room already?
Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
There are three major galleries planned inside this new space.
Yeah.
In addition, there will be a Justice Center where we will be able to bring in some world-class orators, and we will also have an opportunity for these courageous conversations in this space on race and equity and social justice. We will also have an opportunity to have a wonderful auditorium that will also house opportunities for events.
Oh, yeah.
So the land, and one of the really, really cool things about where we're currently located is our fabulous legacy garden.
Mm-hmm.
And so we plan to, in fact, replicate a garden in this space
well.
Yes, so I'm just excited about all the opportunities that this represents.
You know, when you talk about an auditorium, and there's been movements over the years to kind of rekindle something in the Manhattan Casino, hasn't happened, you know, and maybe what that area of town needs is a new, exciting place to get behind. I mean, I think you need a community center over there. The Royal Theater's been there a while. It's just exciting to have something new, you know, that represents a commitment by the community and city government and people to, we want this here. We want this here for you.
I'm in agreement in part, because I think the significance of the Manhattan Casino is important as well. I think that anything that we do, we build upon a legacy. And the Manhattan Casino certainly represents a legacy of that period in time in history. And I think it's never to be forgotten.
Oh, so I wasn't suggesting that, my goodness. Well, you know, I've written a lot about the history of the Manhattan Casino.
Yes.
And I'm just saying that
it will re-innovate.
For today's kids,
yes,
it's an old building.
Truly,
you know?
Truly. But we reinvigorate that old building by bringing the younger people into that space, telling the stories of what once occurred there, and those legendary performers who, in fact, traveled the world over. We have children in our community who can't see beyond the community, who can't even imagine beyond the community. But to be able to share the rich stories associated with those performers of the Manhattan Casino during their time, I think sends a very strong message. What can be? You can go anywhere from here. Look at the Angela Bassetts of the world who grew up right there in that community.
If you're listening, Ms. Bassett, I want you to come in here and do an interview with me. You know, I've been dying to talk to her for years.
And let's not forget Will Packer, a native of St. Petersburg.
Or Ephraim Sykes.
Kenny Leon and Ephraim Sykes. All of these folks who left this community, but who make their way back home.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Maybe they'll have a Bill DeYoung exhibit somewhere someday, many, many years from now.
Yes.
Anyway, $27 million is what you're looking at. The city, let's go over this. The city kicked in $1 million.
Yes.
The Milky Family Foundation, another $1 million. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Milky. And then I just read there was $325,000 from Duke Energy.
Duke Energy has provided $325,000. Since our campaign has kicked off, we've also received another $30,000+ from AT&T.
Wow.
The Foundation for a Healthy St. Petersburg, another $300,000. And this is in just a very short window. We have several philanthropists who've also come forward with $200,000-$300,000.
It's going to happen, isn't it,
yes,
Terry?
Yes, it's going to happen, but it's only together will we rise and get to this place sooner than later.
Yeah, absolutely. The pictures are great. It looks so cool. And I really, really look forward to it. Before we sign off here, let's be sure people know how they can find out more if there's some philanthropist out there who says, you know, that's for me. How do they get in touch with you? What do they need to do?
We're grateful for the opportunity to suggest that the listeners please reach out to the Woodson Museum, and we're www.woodsonmuseum.org. You can contact us at woodsonmuseum@gmail.com, and our telephone number is 727-323-1104, and I am Terry Lipsey Scott.
Yes, you are indeed. And for those of you who want to invest in Black history, it's investing in American history. This is part of what makes this country great, and also what makes this city great. This thing is going to be so welcome. You think this year? I've asked you this before.
Why don't we say the end of the month we'll be ready to move some dirt?
It's like, I don't know, 2 weeks, man. Okay. I'll be out there. Give me a shovel. I don't have any money, but I'll help break ground.
Well, Bill, if you don't mind, if I can say, this building will represent Florida's first, as you stated earlier, purpose-built African-American Museum.
Yeah.
Every African-American Museum in the state of Florida is a retrofitted building. We are looking to create Florida's first building of note and of purpose as it relate to the preservation, education, and presentation of African-American history. And we're looking forward to everyone lifting a hand.
I could listen to you talk all day.
You're too kind.
Terry, it's been a pleasure. And we'll stay in touch and we'll keep everybody informed as to how things are going.
Bill, thanks for the opportunity. We're grateful.